gas play an important role in Europe's energy future? The short answer is yes. However, this role is transforming, with renewable gases produced from organic waste impacting the way DSOs invest in and modernize existing infrastructure. To find out more about how gas is playing an instrumental role in Europe's decarbonization journey, I am joined by Fabrice Vigneron, Chief Technical Officer at GRDF and Chair of the Distribution Committee of the International Gas Union. This episode is brought to you in partnership with GRDF, France's leading natural gas distribution operator, distributing natural gas and renewable gas daily to over 11 million customers. I'm Pamela Larg. Welcome to the Energy Transitions podcast. Fabrice, as countries worldwide embark on this journey from fossil fuels to renewables, what role do gas DSOs play in this transition?
That is an important question. System decarbonization depends deeply on national context. In terms of available energy resources, national, even local energy needs for heating, cooling, mobility, or industry, existing infrastructure, either for electricity, gas, or hydropower, and investment capacity. In this respect, transition pathways cannot be uniform. They are at a very different stage from one country to another. Gas is truly a transition vector. For example, for countries shifting from fuel oil and coal to natural gas, they are reducing their emissions. To highlight this point, burning natural gas for heating instead of fuel oil reduces CO2 emissions by 37%. Producing electricity with natural gas reduces CO2 emissions by 61% compared to coal. According to 2025 edition of the World Energy Outlook, published by the International Energy Agency, natural gas demand continues to grow even under current policies, supporting transition from coal and oil to renewables. In 2024, global natural gas demand rose by 2.7% and is still present in 2050 in every energy scenario.
So even though we're moving away from fossil fuels towards renewables, gas will actually continue to play a very critical role as a transition fuel, correct?
Absolutely. In a fully decarbonized energy future, gas, especially renewables and low carbon gases, will remain an essential pillar of system flexibility, stability, and resilience. Its role is not limited to being a bridge toward renewables. It is an integral component of a balanced, secure, and affordable energy mix. In all net zero carbon scenarios, gas remains a necessary fuel and solution. All energies are necessary to achieve the energy transition. Amid this shift, traditional energy risks affecting the security of oil and gas supply are now accompanied by vulnerabilities in other areas, most visibly in supply chains for critical minerals due to high levels of market consultation, as mentioned by International Energy Agency in its World Energy Outlook.
Fabrice, how do DSOs modernize the existing infrastructure and assets? This is a mammoth task. Surely it's taking a great deal of investment and planning.
Gas DSOs are not repurposing networks at scale. Rather, they are adapting and upgrading existing infrastructure to progressively accommodate renewable and low-carbon gases such as biomethane and, in the future, hydrogen or synthetic methane in a just energy transition. to highlight network modernization. Every DSOs is now launching some programs, maintenance programs to replace, for example, cast iron pipes with polyethylene. As a consequence, with this evolution, we'll have lower leakage and higher safety. As GRDF and its European peers advocate, the aim is not to dismantle or repurpose networks prematurely, but to leverage existing infrastructure as renewable energy carriers, an approach that preserves value, limits social cost, and accelerates decarbonization. This approach ensures financial sustainability, affordability for consumers, and also regulatory consistency across member states.
It seems as if the role of the DSO is really undergoing a transformation. So my question to you is, there's obviously a transformation in terms of the role of greener gases as well. What role will they play in terms of residential and industrial decarbonization, especially in hard-to-abate sectors?
If gases are here to stay, greener gases are on the way. I talk about biomethane, green hydrogen, and e-methane. Our role is therefore to provide the necessary infrastructure in an affordable way, enabling green gases production to be connected to a grid and consumers to access these green gases. DSO traditionally used to be the end delivery to consumers. Now they are an entry point of energy system. They are at the heart of the system, promoting also efficient technology to consume less, to reduce emission, either for household or industry. Like this, like GRDF, DSOs are undertaking a transformation towards a 100% renewable low emission gas distribution network in 2050. If we look at usage, we have a conviction. There will be no unique, simplistic solution. We need to have a diversity of solutions, of technologies, to answer all energy needs with renewables. At GRDF, our slogan is to consume less, better, and greener. For example, for households, there is a mature technology, which is hybrid heating system, that maintains energy security and also reduces peak load on electricity. For industry that needs solutions to decarbonize their activities, especially hard-to-abate sectors such as steel, glass, paper, cement manufacturers, answers are already existing. It can be biomethane, green hydrogen, or even natural gas with carbon capture and store technologies. We offer network flexibility, security of supply, and a diversity of low carbon molecules. And also it's a solution for territories by developing local energy ecosystem, for example, biomethane clusters, in a circular economy and energy sovereignty. And also it solves some problems that are arising now that are the bottlenecks of grid, either electricity or gas.
Fabrice, you talk about some of the challenges there now, some of the bottlenecks, and I'd like to delve into that. What are the challenges when it comes to distributing green gas?
Really, the main challenges are scaling up renewable gas production, which accounts now for 2% of the total global demand in the world. And we need to ensure interoperability across Europe, across networks, and we need to harmonize regulatory and technical frameworks. For example, regarding technical adaptation, we have to manage diverse gas qualities, pressures, injection points, without compromising safety or performance. Regarding regulatory alignment, we need to ensure coherent certification, guarantees of origin, and cross-border trade of renewable gases. All this has to be put in place. It's also a matter of economic visibility, maintaining stable frameworks and tariffs to attract long-term investment and in production and connection of the projects. And it's also a public perception and awareness. People need to understand that there is a solution regarding renewable gases and that they can clearly today use green gases in their boiler, like for green electricity. Nobody is wondering what is the origin of its energy. Maybe I can add, all these challenges will need cooperation. That's why through GD Forest Association, Gas Distributor for Sustainability, Eurogaz, and International Gas Union, GRDF with other DSOs actively contributes to these discussions, promoting realistic, inclusive pathways that reflect local specificities with aligning with EU climate objectives. In France, 800 injection sites are currently connected to a grid, injecting biomethane, and we are targeting 20% renewable gas by 2030 in France, thanks to a regulatory framework that boosts investment for grid adaptations and connections, which allows the biomethane industry to go that fast.
Fabrice, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today. For more insights, join the Enlit community.